This is a podcast about movies. I am your co-host, Eric Davis. I'm the managing editor of Movies.com. And joining me, as always, as he always has been, is Iron Man himself. No, if there was a North Carolina man, maybe. His name is Sean O'Connell. He is the movies content director over at CinemaBlend.com. And Sean, the summer is now officially over. This episode is going to be our most anticipated of the Toronto International Film Festival. We'll look also why it's such an important film festival. And these movies that we're going to be talking about are going to be movies that are coming out in the fall. And this is an exciting time of the year. Are you excited?
Very much so. This has become an annual trip for me. You came up with last year. We've right around this time, Labor Day, you know, it starts to get into the mindset of one of the things I love to do over the Labor Day weekend is track the people who go to Telluride. Twitter's been great for this. You just do the hashtag Telluride and pick up some of the buzz of movies that are screening there, because then I know I'm going to go to Toronto and try and tap into all of the films that we're going to be talking about from now till the end of the year. I know that there are a lot of people who are really tired of the Oscar race and how much coverage needs to go into the Oscar race, but it's important. I mean, the industry's sort of fueled by it, and I think that I don't know. What percentage of the audience do you think is really interested in the titles that are going to be contending, Eric? Do you think we're at the point right now where it's early and people are still really excited, or does that topic automatically turn people off?
I think people are interested in hearing about which movies are good, which movies that are coming out soon are really good and sure, that they're excited about. You know, the fall season and Oscar season is different than, like, say, the summer movie season, because the summer movie season, these are a bunch of big movies that we anticipate but that we don't see and that we can't really talk about until we see them, which is usually like a week or two before the movie comes out. Whereas the Oscar season, the fall season, it's almost like you know, if you're a sports fan, it's almost like preseason football, because right, you're going to get a good look at all of these big films that are coming out. You know, most of them are finished in some ways. Some of them may be tweaked depending on their preseason show at a film festival. But, you know, we get a good look at a lot of these movies as they're coming out. They'll be rolled out in September, October, November, December, and then maybe some of them even wide release in January, and some of them aren't even picked up yet and won't be released until 2015. So it's a little bit of a different kind of feel, but, you know, I think the general audiences, you say, you throw out Telluride, you throw out Toronto, you throw out these names, that doesn't, maybe not ring a bell to them, but I think what will ring a bell to them is saying, look, I just saw this movie. It was phenomenal. I think it's going to be nominated for Oscars. Put it on your radar. And I think that's what people are interested in.
Well, and we did last year.
Yeah.
We came out of a lot of films, 12 Years a Slave and Gravity. And, you know, we tracked these films from Toronto all the way through to the Oscar race.
Yeah. And I think that's what's important, is that when people say, you know, what is Toronto? Why is so many people talking about Toronto this week and next week, the film festival that goes on there. And I'll just tell you why it's important in one kind of sentence. Last year, Sean and I think in a two-day span, we saw Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, August Osage County, Labor Day. What were some of the other big Oscar contenders? Basically, like half of the Best Picture nominations we saw within 48 hours last year at Toronto. So those are the kinds of movies that are playing Toronto. These are movies where I would say, just looking at the list at Toronto, I would say four or five of these are most likely going to be Best Picture candidates. So yeah, that's why people are talking about it, because a lot of the big, you know, Oscar nominations come out of films that premiere here. So if you're an Oscar buff, if you like to watch movies that are nominated for Oscars because you know they're going to be good, you're going to enjoy them, then listen to what we have to say coming out of Toronto.
So what do we want to see up there? We each picked five movies that we have circled They're on our Toronto calendar. We think that they're going to be really important, not just in the Oscar race, but movies that you're going to want to pay attention to as they roll out into different theaters from now between the end of the year. And some of them already have some buzz going into it, and some of them we're just sort of rolling the dice on, hoping to take a chance because we like the filmmakers or we like someone in the cast. And for different reasons, they have intrigued us, and we're going to try and check them out while we're in Toronto. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to kick it off?
You kick it off.
All right, I'm going to go big right off the bat. Big. And I'm going to say that one of the films I'm most looking forward to is Foxcatcher. Bennett Miller is just this incredible director who I loved Capote, I loved Moneyball, and this film has been generating such buzz ever since he just announced that he was going to do it. It's a true crime thriller, which seems to be his genre. It stars Channing Tatum and Steve Carell, who's kind of unrecognizable, as a member of the DuPont family who committed a murder, and this sort of tells that story. And it's one of these projects where it looks like the less you know about it, the more you're going to be on this roller coaster ride of suspense and thrills, because it's Mark Ruffalo, it's Channing Tatum, and it's Carell all doing things that we don't normally expect them to do. They're going to very dark places. Tatum has been saying ever since the film played at Cannes that he had to learn more about acting before he felt comfortable playing this role. Like, this isn't Magic Mike territory. This is like big time Oscar contending territory. The film played in Telluride over the weekend. It generated a huge buzz. Again, I guarantee you this one's going to be in the Oscar conversation. Mm-hmm. We're going to get our first look at it on Monday in Toronto. And I just know that it's going to be one of those jam packed, buzzy, sort of high anticipation screenings. I can't wait to be there for that.
Yeah, that's one I'm definitely looking forward to. And if I were to sight unseen, start listing off Best Picture nominations, I think that movie will probably get one, at least some acting categories. It's interesting. I can't wait. You know, when I came at it this time last year, I was like, wow, the Best Actor race is going to be crazy. Right. This year, last year it was, and this year I think it's going to be. I mean, this year we could see guys like Steve Carell, Michael Keaton. It could be such an eclectic. And people always say I hate talking about Oscars this early, but I'll be honest with you, this is when I like talking about Oscars, because this is the only time I'm actually excited to talk about the Oscar race. When I get to January and February, I'm like, shut up, I don't want to talk about the Oscars anymore.
Right, exactly. But I mean, I just think that's, you know, you're right in the fact that the field is going to be, when we just watched the Emmys recently and they did the Best Actor category, it was this murderer's row of like insane talent, and I kind of think that Best Actor this year could really be that for Oscar.
And it may be there also for Best Actress. My first pick is going to be Wild. Reese Witherspoon. You know, we haven't seen Reese Witherspoon sort of give her all to a performance in a while. I feel like she kind of fell out for a little bit, and it may have been because she was starting a family and she wanted to sort of mom it up a little bit. And, you know, some actresses do that. They take a break, and we don't see them in as much as many movies as maybe we would like to. Well, here comes Reese Witherspoon. She's already said that this is the hardest film she's ever made. It's based on a popular book, and it was adapted and by Nick Hornby.
Oh, which is a great flag right there.
Does really, really good. And my wife's reading the book right now. She loves it. And it's about this woman who sort of divorces her husband and leaves her life behind and goes for this 1,100-mile solo hike. And she's never done anything like this. And she's just kind of hiking through the woods. And I think this could be a performance that we may see nominated, female performance. I think the audiences, definitely coming off of the summer season, you could tell that audiences are hungry for strong female-driven content.
Yes.
This is what I'm hearing. Even behind the scenes, I have friends that write screenplays, and what they're hearing from all of the agents out there and stuff is that there is such a high demand for female-driven content right now that is probably the most we've ever seen. I've never seen the demand for that kind of content as high as it is right now.
Right.
And so that, which is great. So I think the next few years are going to be full of some really interesting female-driven movies, including this one, Wild. And I think it's going to be pretty good. Laura Dern is also in it. Gabby Hoffman, good display of female talent on hand. And I'm interested to see it. I'm interested to see Reese Witherspoon sort of make a comeback in a hardcore drama, adult-centric movie. Comes from the director of Dallas Buyers Club. So that's notable if you like the Dallas Buyers Club.
And that's a good reason why that one's on my radar, because I love Dallas Buyers Club and I can't wait to see what he does next.
So that's my first big pick. What's your second?
All right. I'm going to stick with something safe and something that I already know. Sooner or later, I got to start rolling the dice and taking some gambles. But I already know that Whiplash is going into Toronto with a lot of buzz. It played Sundance? Did you see it at Sundance?
I did see it at Sundance. This is one of my favorite movies of the year so far.
Son of a gun. See? Now that's why I need to put this on my radar. Okay, yeah. So it's Damien Chazelle. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
I believe so.
Made a musical drama about a young drummer played by Miles Teller and the confrontations that he has with his instructor, J.K. Simmons. Tell me if I'm wrong. Is that what it is?
Yeah. You know, and he's at one of these prestigious New York music schools where, you know, the talent that come out of these schools play Lincoln Center and, you know, play in orchestras. And, you know, this is some sort of the cream of the crop. And Miles Teller plays this young drummer who's sort of, you know, ridiculously passionate. He wants to, quote-unquote, be one of the greats. And he's sacrificing a lot in his life to become one of the greats. And he's now met his match in a teacher who has taught some of the greats. But his teaching style is a bit controversial. You can see some of that in the trailers. But if you like jazz, I'm a big jazz guy. And this movie has some great jazz. It's got some great jazz stories in it. And terrific, terrific performances from both J.K. Simmons and Miles Teller. The best ending of the year that I've seen so far. It's an ending that just kind of leaves you. You just, like, you're high-fiving yourself when you walk out of this movie. But yeah, just, it owned Sundance. You know, just to give you a little bit of a history on it, it really owned the Sundance Film Festival. It was the opening night movie of the Sundance Film Festival, and it won Grand Jury. I believe it also won Audience. So this is a film that stood the test of time. You know, usually people forget the opening night movie by the time you get 10 days into a festival. Well, this movie, you know, day two, day three, and so on and so on, I kept hearing people say, still my favorite is Whiplash, owned the Sundance Film Festival, and now it's making it's sort of its second run through this fall season. I'm curious to see how it stands up now against some of these big boys, including Wild that we talked about, and Foxcatcher. I'm curious to see now where it stands in line against some of these, you know, these big clear-cut Oscar contenders. But yeah, you know, you're right in anticipating it, and it's really good.
Well, that's my first movie of the fest this year too. I see it at like noon on Thursday, so, and then everything's gonna be measured up against it. So I can't wait to see how.
That's funny. So it's kind of like your opening night Toronto movie.
Yeah,
you're seeing it sort of how people saw it at Sundance.
I didn't wait too long to see it because I've been dying to see it ever since Sundance, and I'm really looking forward to it. So
cool. You're up. Yeah, my third. You know, I'm gonna go a little bit smaller now.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Good Kill.
Okay.
Which is an interesting movie. What is Good Kill? Well, Good Kill, if you're a fan of Gattaca, and I am a fan of Gattaca. Gattaca is one of those classic sci-fi movies, in my opinion, one of my favorites, directed by Andrew Niccol, starring Ethan Hawke. Well, guess what? These two guys are reuniting for this movie. It's called Good Kill. It does not have a release date yet. And it's about, I don't know much about this movie. Okay. And I don't even know if there's a trailer. You know, a lot of these movies coming to Toronto, I try not to really seek out any kind of footage unless, you know, it's a big movie like Wild or Foxcatcher where you want to watch the trailer. But I haven't sought out anything on this movie, so I don't even know if there's footage out there. All I know is this description. It's about a family man who begins to question the ethics of his job as a drone pilot. So I think it's going to be topical. I think we could learn a lot about drone warfare. You know, drone, that's like a buzzword these days. Drones, they could send drones, do drones. So I'm curious to see if this kind of dips into that sort of lifestyle. I'm just really curious about it because Gattaca was such a cool movie. And you have to think that these guys are reuniting on an equally as cool movie as they did with Gattaca.
Yeah, I would agree, definitely. All right, my turn?
Yes. First, though, let me just back up fast. Foxcatcher is coming to theaters on November 14th, I believe. Okay. And Wild, if you're writing these down, comes into theaters on December 5th.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. I just want to throw out release dates for the movies that are hitting theaters. So, because I know you're sitting listening to this podcast with a pen and paper being like, oh, hey, they didn't mention a freaking release date. So go ahead. What's your next one?
I'm gonna go with I'll go with something that looks tried and true, and that's the new Jason Reitman movie. It's called Men, Women, and Children. We saw Labor Day up at Toronto last year, and it was we both liked it a lot. We both thought it was, you know, this sort of emotional, you know, tone poem almost. Yeah. And by his standards, it was light. You know, it was minor, and it didn't catch on the way that his earlier films had. But that doesn't mean I'm necessarily ready to give up on Jason Reitman at all. Like, it's easy to, you have to sort of remind yourself that this is the guy who also did Up in the Air and Thank You for Smoking and has made some killer films. And this one looks to be, as you say, also very topical, very of the moment. It's talking about how we interact in society when we're overrun with technology, and how do families deal with it. And you see the cast, and it puts you back on your heels a little bit because you're not quite sure what to expect. It has Adam Sandler, it has Judy Greer, it has Jennifer Garner, and all these people who have been in light comedies. But then we saw that this trailer for it, and it did not look light at all.
No, it looked like a horror movie for married couples.
Yeah, and also for parents. Because
for parents, too.
Yeah, it's about how, you know, kids in middle school or high school have to deal with the social pressures of texting and social media. And it's about how, you know, couples deal with infidelity, and there's a mom, you know, who's posting racy pictures of her own daughter, and all these weird ways that, that technology can twist us. And I think Reitman, especially the Reitman who made Thank You for Smoking, which was such a dry satire, can really go at this topic, and I hope that he does. So,
yeah, I agree.
And Children is high on my radar.
I agree. I think it's going to. He also makes movies that you feel.
Yeah.
And I always think that it's the movies that you feel that wind up sticking with you and wind up winning the big awards, because these are the films that, you know, you walk away from and you just feel.
Right.
You know, they're not kind of cold, where, you know, there's a lot of these movies, well, they may be good, they're forgettable. You walk out and you're like, yeah, it was good. You know, but the movies that you feel, the movies that you can relate to, the movies that kind of pinpoint certain things in your own lives that you're going through, that your family's going through, those are the movies that stick with you. I think this is one of those movies. And I'm not afraid of Adam Sandler starring in this film, because I think Adam Sandler was cast because of his everyman abilities. And his sort of way, you know, and he's done other films like Spanglish, where he's sort of been in these comedy dramas as a family man, and he's worked well. And
well, he has. I was more like Punch Drunk Love, where he tests himself in really material. But.
Yeah, I'm not at all concerned about him there. I think it'll be good for him. But yeah, I'm really anticipating that as well. Also, Noah Baumbach's While We're Young,
okay,
is a movie that I'm looking forward to. Noah Baumbach.
Mm-hmm.
His last one, I lost it for Francis Ha.
Okay.
This was one of my favorite movies of the year, and which is interesting because I haven't been a huge Noah Baumbach fan. I wasn't crazy about Greenberg. I liked The Squid and the Whale, but Francis Ha just kind of hit me in a spot where I just loved the positive vibes of its main character. No matter where she went, no matter how many kind of horrible situations she would get in, she always sort of lived for the moment. And I respected the hell out of her character, and it really kind of made me feel good, and I loved it. But While We're Young, Greenberg, his star, Ben Stiller, reunites, and he's about an uptight documentary filmmaker and their wife, who sort of get loosened up when they find they befriend a free-spirited younger couple. It almost sounds like a mashup of Greenberg and Frances Ha, because I think he's pretty uptight in Greenberg, and in Frances Ha, she's very free-spirited. So it seems like he's merging sort of some sensibilities from those two movies. Amanda Seyfried is also in it. Naomi Watts. I pronounce everybody's name wrong. I apologize. Charles Grodin, interesting. Adam Driver.
Well, Charles Grodin was just on Louis, too, and Louis knew how to use him. And so I guess Noah Baumbach's going to know how to use him also. He has a very specific sense of humor, and I forgot he's in this movie, and it makes me even more excited to see it because of that reason.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, especially I think Adam Driver and Amanda Seyfried play that free-spirited younger couple. Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts play the uptight married couple. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing sort of how they each kind of relate to each other. And like I said, I love Francis Ha, so, and I think Baumbach's a terrific writer. He wrote and directed this movie. So yeah, that's one of my most anticipated.
I didn't like Francis Ha as much as you did.
Really?
It scares me a little bit. You know, it's such a New York movie, and I think New York critics and New York audiences sort of embraced it a little bit more than the rest of us did. But I'm not giving up on Baumbach for sure. I loved a lot of his earlier films.
You're just anti-New York.
I am.
Well, you're so anti-New York. And you're an ex-New Yorker, too. This kid that you're listening to,
yes.
He lives in North Carolina now, but he is an ex-New Yorker. There are a lot of great New York sensibilities of that film. But a lot of it is in Brooklyn and sort of in that Brooklyn hipster scene, which I am not a part of. But I really loved the character, and I loved the message of living in the moment, no matter how awful and the twists and turns of your life. And even if the twists and turns of her life are not as awful as they could be, they're still, in the relation to her own existence, are awful. And just that message of living in the moment, I think, is so important, especially if you have a hectic life. And you have a lot of moving pieces. It's always important to sort of live in the moment and treat each moment as if it's your last. And that's what she does. And that's why I love the movie.
All right, I'm taking a film called because we can't have enough Adam Sandler in this preview. I'm taking a film called The Cobbler. And
The Cobbler.
This is kind of
that's how I like to talk about it.
Kind of has been a running joke between me and a few friends leading up to this movie, because we just can't. We can't marry the fact that Adam Sandler is in a Tom McCarthy film. Tom McCarthy has made some brilliant films. His most recent film was Win-Win with Paul Giamatti.
I like that movie.
Oh, it's so great. Tom McCarthy typically gives amazing roles to fantastic actors. He had Amy Ryan and Paul Giamatti in Win-Win. He made The Visitor with Richard Jenkins. He made The Station Agent with Patricia Clarkson, which was...
Great character. Really great character-driven pieces.
So he makes great films. And now he has a movie called The Cobbler. And it stars Adam Sandler as a guy who repairs shoes in a small New York shop. And it's a comedy fantasy where, as he puts on these shoes, he lives in the lives of other people. And it stars Sandler, and it also has Dustin Hoffman, and it has Steve Buscemi in it, and it has Method Man and Ellen Barkin, and it just sounds really bizarre. Like, if you told me that Dennis Dugan was directing it, or Frank Caracci, it would be the next Sandler comedy. But it's Tom McCarthy, and I have to believe that he sees something in Sandler, and there's this script that we know nothing about, and there has to be something that the Tom McCarthy who made The Visitor and The Station Agent sees something in The Cobbler and wants to make it. So although a lot of bells and whistles and alarms and indicators are going off saying, you know, stay away from this, it's in Toronto, and it's directed by Tom McCarthy, so I have to try The Cobbler, but I won't be surprised if I regret the decision come Sunday after the press and industry screening.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy. I mean, there's enough there that I could take a chance on.
Yeah, no, there's definitely enough there to take a chance on. It sounds like it could be a little bit whimsical. It's interesting that Adam Sandler has two movies at the Toronto International Film Festival. I'm curious to see. It's hard for me to talk about this movie without calling it The Cobbler. And I just want to say, hey, Cobbler.
That's like a Sandler voice, too.
Yeah, no, it just sounds a little whimsical. I'm interested to see it. But yeah, Tom McCarthy makes really terrific character-driven pieces. So I'm curious. I'm curious to see Adam Sandler play a cobbler.
I'm terrified. I hope it's good. I'm putting it on my five to see. So
my next movie that I'm taking a chance on is called Big Game.
Okay.
Big Game is an interesting sort of setup. It stars Samuel L. Jackson as the President of the United States. So right there, I shouldn't even have to tell you about the movie. All I should have to tell you is that Samuel L. Jackson plays the President of the United States. You'd be like, I'm there.
Right.
I'm sold. I want to see what that president looks like. But here's where it gets interesting. It's Air Force One is shot down in the middle of the woods. And this young teenager is camping in the woods when it's shot down. And he and this teenager has to team up with the President of the United States. in the middle of the woods and has to lead and help him and lead him out there. And I think people are looking for the president and they're hunting them, as is the title, Big Game. And this is
a midnight one. It's a midnight one, right?
I think so. I think so. The director of this also did Rare Exports, if you've ever seen that. If you're familiar with some genre films, it's that crazy Santa Claus movie.
Oh, that movie's insane.
Yeah, that movie is really insane. So that's why I'm totally into this movie. I want to see Samuel L. Jackson as the president. I want to see Samuel L. Jackson as a pissed off president who's on the run from people trying to kill him in the woods with some teenager who's just camping. Like, it just sounds like a cool setup. Ray right. Stevenson is in it, who's always sort of a badass. Felicity Huffman, Jim Broadbent, random.
I like that. Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
It sounds really interesting. It sounds like a kind of a cool genre movie that, you know, you watch and enjoy. So this one does not have a release date yet. It's coming out in 2015 in different parts of the world. So I imagine maybe like Germany, February 5th, 2015. Maybe we'll see it around that time as well in the States.
All right. I got time for one more?
You have time for one more.
I can fit in one more. I'm going with a movie that's now called Top Five, that was a while ago called Finally Famous, and it's written and directed by Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason alone, I'm on board. But it sounds like Chris Rock is going after some easy targets, but ones that he can get a lot of laughs at. He plays a comedian, a stretch there, who's married to a reality television star, or he's about to get married to a reality television star. That's his fiance. And she convinces him to broadcast their wedding on her reality television show. And he thinks it's going to jeopardize his career at potentially becoming a serious actor. So it's Chris Rock sort of going after the entertainment industry. But he's surrounded himself with an amazing cast. Rosario Dawson, Kevin Hart, Gabriel Union in it, Tom Papa, a lot of really good comedians. I think that there's cameos by Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K. Like, it sounds like Rock shot in and around Manhattan, just kept pulling in a lot of his funny friends. And he's only made three films before. One of them was this hilarious movie called Head of State. And I always thought that Chris Rock had more potential to cross over into film. Now, obviously, he's extremely busy with his own stand-up career, but the fact that this movie is going to play the film festival circuit, the fact that I love the subject matter already, and the fact that I think that, you know, Rock can go after this with both barrels has me salivating to see what is now called Top Five.
Yeah, I'm interested to see it too. I've never been crazy about Chris Rock as an actor. I've always felt like he was just one note.
Sure.
And I like his material. I think his writing is good. I'm curious to see him. Curious to see what he puts out here. I feel like we haven't really seen anything from Chris Rock in a little bit.
Yeah, agree.
And I think if he brings a lot of his friends around, and I'm always a fan of comedic circles, comedic friendships, because I feel like they produce some of the best material. Because these guys are all friends. They all know each other's sensibilities and they work off each other well. So I think some of the best stuff, especially in the comedy world, comes from movies where a lot of people already know each other.
I hope that movie's hysterical.
I hope so too. Hey, for Chris Rock, I hope so too. I'm a fan of his comedy. I have not been a fan of his acting, but I am a fan of his comedy. And I'm curious to see it. His last movie, what was that? That married one, right? When
I Think I Love My Wife.
I Think I Love My Wife. Yeah, I wasn't crazy about that.
Because it wasn't good, that's why.
Yeah. Okay, my last movie, I'm going to say The Imitation Game. This is another big, big Oscar contender. It just played the Telluride Film Festival. Some of these did. Wild also played the Telluride Film Festival. And this is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay.
Who I think is going to have a more successful time at the Toronto Film Festival than he did last year.
Oh, gosh.
With
the Fifth Estate?
The Fifth Estate. He did not do so well with the Fifth Estate.
No.
But The Imitation Game, I think he's going to do a lot better. I think this is a Best Actor nomination we're looking at with Benedict, with the Cumber.
It also came out of Telluride with a ton of buzz.
It came out with a ton of buzz. It's a biopic on Alan Turing, who has this guy had a really interesting life. Talk about people who had crazy lives. He was like an English mathematician, and he cracked codes during World War II. He was also gay. He was prosecuted for being gay, because back then you could be. It was still a criminal offense. And he just had a really – I mean, there's other crazy stuff that he did, but I don't even want to get into it because I'm sure the movie's going to cover it. Fascinating guy.
Yeah.
And Benedict Cumberbatch plays him. And I'm not sure how much of his life it covers. I haven't seen it, but it's got the Cumberbatch. It's got period piece. It's got the period piece goddess, Keira Knightley. So you know right there.
Stop it.
Right there, you know it's gonna be nominated for Oscars because Keira's in it. But you know what? I'm happy to see this because I'm seeing Keira Knightley in this period piece after seeing her in a couple of really down to earth, fun movies like. I keep calling it kind of Song Savior. No, Begin Again.
Begin Again.
And yeah. Laggies. I like Laggies. That comes out in, in October. That was at Sundance. She's kind of down to earth and regular in that, too.
Did you like Laggies? That's on my radar, but it conflicts with a lot of different things on Thursday. Should I see it? What do I do?
It's okay. I think it's on par with with Begin Again in some respect in those kinds of movies. Sam Rockwell really steals the show in Laggies. Okay. If you were to ask me, I think he saves that movie. But it's nice to see her in some different roles. So I'm okay. I'm not period pieced out with Keira Knightley after seeing those two movies. So I'm looking forward to seeing her in this. Matthew Good, Mark Strong. I mean, it just has a really excellent cast, and this, like I said, this Turing guy had an interesting life, and also the director.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting director because I'm probably going to butcher his name, Morten Tidlum. He did a movie called Headhunters, which is a really cool dark comedy crime thriller that I loved. And so this is from him. So it's interesting. So we could see an emergence of a new director who's very exciting to watch. I thought he was exciting to watch after I saw Headhunters. But this is a big movie for him. So it's interesting to see him going from something like that to this on such a big scale. The Cumber, hey, what can you say about The Cumber? I mean, this is one of our best actors working today, folks. So see the stuff that he's in because he's fun. He's one of these guys that just gives it all, 110%. And he's entering, I think, the prime of his career. So, there's some other movies that I think we were going to mention, but we didn't. Nighthawker, I've heard really good things about.
Nighthawker.
Yeah. Nightcrawler.
Force Majeure is a Swedish film that played Sundance and got really good reviews. That's high on my list.
There's a lot. The one movie that we're not talking about that we want to talk about, but it's not playing Toronto, is of course Michael Keaton's Birdman. This is a film that played Venice and Telluride back to back and had a few days of just the critics are going bonkers for this film.
Yeah, tremendous reviews.
Sounds really good. It's going to close the New York Film Festival, so you'll hear about it again then, and I'm going to try to sneak my way into a screening at some point in the next few weeks because it just sounds like a phenomenal movie, and I think it's going to put Michael Keaton right square in the thick of the friggin' Oscar race, and I think that's awesome.
That's awesome.
As a guy who grew up loving Michael Keaton,
We're going into Toronto, too, looking to be surprised. Like, we want to be caught off guard by something also.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are ones that are on our radar, but we want to hear about films that we don't expect and just sort of knock us back on our ass. So.
I agree. I will say, though, that Toronto is hard, though, because there's so many big sort of quote-unquote Oscar contenders that play Toronto that you have to see. That it's harder to discover stuff at Toronto than it is at, say, a South by Southwest Film Festival or at a Sundance Film Festival where there's just a lot of, like, it's just a slate of wild cards and you're, like, you know, closing your eyes and just dropping your finger down. It's not so much like that with Toronto. There are films that you can discover, sure. There's tons of films that you can discover. But guys like us are really seeing a lot of these big movies.
Yeah, because we have to. These are the ones we're going to have to cover for the next few weeks and months, and they're the ones that we want to get everybody excited for.
Yes, but that being said, last year at Toronto, I saw Blue Ruin, which was a discovery for me. Loved that movie. I saw The Double, the Jesse Eisenberg film, which was really cool, which is not on my radar. Also, the Scarlett Johansson Alien movie.
Under the Skin.
Under the Skin.
Random thing I saw before I jumped in a cab and ran to the airport. Yeah. And man, that thing lingered with me forever.
That lingered with me forever, too. And so that was like an under-the-radar kind of film, too. So as much as we saw The Gravities and The 12 Years of Slaves and those big movies last year, we also did discover. There is room for discovery, and I hope, to discover some right alongside you. I hope to be sitting next to you for some of these films. And I do want to remind you that Sean and I are going to be podcasting at different points from the Toronto Film Festival. We'll be giving our reviews of some of these movies that we just talked about on this episode. And it'll be exciting. I had a terrific time at the Toronto Film Festival last year and got to sit next to you for Gravity. We had a good time for that. And so I hope to be sitting next to you for some of these films as well.
I am looking forward to it. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into our preview. Keep it locked in here for all of our coverage from the fest. If there's some title that you've heard about that you want us to definitely check out while we're up there, drop us a message, and we'll do our best to bring you the type of coverage that you guys are looking forward to.
There you go. Go over to movies.com. Go over to cinemablend.com. There's all kinds of crazy stuff over there that you can read and love. And admire and share.
Love all of our stuff.
And share on your various social networks. My name is Eric Davis. His name is Sean O'Connell. We're on Twitter. You can find that in the post and all that stuff. Look us up and become fans. And I'll see you at Toronto, Sean.
See you at Toronto, Eric. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Bye.